sure people know who you are, because your name is your business. So get your spelling right.
Yeah, Journey is a great name, obviously.
Yeah,
it's easy to remember. The band is awesome. Love the band. I've actually came out on a FCFF card. I've came out to Separate Ways.
Nice.
By Journey.
Nice.
Awesome song. Obviously, you only get to 30 seconds, but the first 30 seconds of that song is just badass.
Yeah, I love Journey. You know, there's nothing wrong with a little Journey. That's a good way to spend the day. Throwing a Journey album in with it.
Yeah.
So Journey's here to talk about one of his favorite fights, and his favorite fight is the fight he wants to talk about is a relatively recent fight. This was at UFC 207, back in late December 2016. So Journey, what's your favorite fight?
My favorite fight is definitely the Dominic Cruz versus Cody Garbrandt fight.
Nice. Yeah, that's an awesome fight, man. Couple of brash guys who like to talk a little bit of trash.
Yeah, very good stand-up fighters. So, you know, obviously it's going to be a good fight. Both guys very experienced at the top of their game. There is an age difference, and we talked about that earlier before everything got cut out.
Yeah, so this is take two, guys.
Yeah, this is actually take two. But yeah, Cody Garbrandt's 25. And Dominic Cruz is 31.
Yeah, like 31.
At that time, maybe. I want to say 31.
Yeah.
So there was a somewhat of an age difference.
Sure. You know, and 31, 30 years old is, you know, 31, 32, 33 years old is when you see a lot of guys in MMA kind of start to slow up just a little bit. You know, you see a lot of guys at that age say, "Oh, I'm young. I still got a lot left in me." But it's not a lot of guys that in older age, and you know, as they start getting into their mid to late 30s, especially, are doing a lot better. I'm not saying Dominic Cruz is old, because he's not, but you know, I mean, he's younger than me. Shit, but. But yeah, I mean, that's certainly played a factor potentially in this fight. I mean, could have.
There's talk about Cody being a little bit more quicker than Dominic Cruz on some exchanges and head movement. And don't know the actual study. I've just read about a study is you're 28, you know, you're starting to reach you're at your prime at 28.
Yeah.
You know, you're going through your prime until like 32. Mm-hmm. Average is when you start to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting Cody Garbrandt here, who's about to hit his prime.
Yeah, he's getting close. He's on his way up versus being on his way down.
Yeah, and Dominic Cruz is basically vice versa. He's on his way down.
Yeah,
which kind of sucks, but he can still bang, obviously.
Oh, totally. No,
he's still a champ in my eyes, only because he wasn't finished.
Yeah,
I would love to see them go again though.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to see the fight again, because I think Dominic Cruz is a very smart fighter. And so this fight, Cody Garbrandt won this fight, obviously, and he wins the UFC 135-pound title. And, you know, it's a, you know, big deal for him. Young, like,
big deal for Team Alpha Male.
Yeah, huge deal for Team Alpha Male. And you actually had a chance to go down and train with them a little bit before this fight, right?
Yes, which is why I picked this fight for one of these reasons. And meeting Cody Garbrandt was an awesome feeling. Training with him was good. All those guys were, you know, very welcoming.
You nice.
Know, I met Riari Faber. I always wonder if those guys get tired of asking or accepting to take pictures, accepting to do the whole gig. So, but they were pretty nice about it. They immediately said, yeah, come take a picture. And
nice.
Took a picture with the whole game. It was awesome.
Did Uriah remember you at Submission Underground or not?
No, he didn't. He did not remember me.
He probably
me.
Made
I
so many people.
Him. Yeah, I asked him. Chris Holdworth remembered me, though. Because when I went down there, the drive was 10 hours. And I've done that drive before, but I must have forgot. Because that drive was shitty. And right when I got down there, it was his class going on, Chris Holdworth's class.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know Chris Holdworth, he is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He was on the Ultimate Fighter.
I think he won his season of the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He was Misha Tate's pick for the season with boys and girls, right? And
I think so.
And that was the season that Juliana Pena won. Mm. And and I think Chris Holdsworth was the kid who won, and then he got injured. He's one of these guys that people talk about him, like, you know, if he could have stayed healthy, you know, he had some injury issues coming into the UFC. He's one of those like really talented guys that people are like, man, if this guy could just put it all together and get in there, you know,
he was rear naked choking everybody.
Yeah,
in the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, I hear he's a monster. That's all you hear about him behind the scenes is just how, you know, how intense he is and how good he is. So that's cool that he remembered you. You were saying you had a pretty good experience with Cody Garbrandt and that sparring with him was cool and stuff. He seemed like a nice guy to you.
Yeah, he seemed really nice. He didn't seem like too high of himself. You know, I assume a lot of fighters will sit here and, you know, oh yeah, you can go train with those other guys. You know, I'm kind of watching injuries or whatever.
Yeah.
So he definitely let me train with him, and with all the other high level guys there, let me train with him.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that once I sparred with him was when I immediately wanted to like pick him for this fight.
Yeah.
Because it was obviously Dominic Cruz versus Cody Garbrandt. Usually I would go for Dominic Cruz just because how elusive he is. But then, you know, sparring and meeting Cody, you know, it's just that 1 hour in class.
Yeah.
It made me change my whole opinion on him.
Was it, could you tell a difference training with him than you do with like your regular training partners? Like, because, you know, he's obviously the, you know, he's at the top of his game and he's, you know, he's the champion in the UFC, you know, kind of like you see these guys who play college football and then there's, you know, there's that 1% of them that can make it to the NFL. Those guys are those exceptional guys. And people say, oh, when I played with him, it was so obvious this guy was better than everybody. Was it obvious to you that his talent level is higher than what you're used to seeing in most gyms that you've trained in, or was it?
It was definitely at a higher level. The thing is that I do come from a jiu-jitsu background. My gym is Impact Jiu-Jitsu, and there's not a lot of stand-up work. So honestly, any stand-up gym, I know Team Alpha Male is a wrestling gym, but they have really good boxing coaches over there.
Yeah, no, and, I mean, they're a mixed martial arts gym, man. I mean, maybe the base of that program started as wrestling.
Yeah.
But, you know, those guys really, they don't just wrestle. At this point, those are some of the, you know, some of the best fighters on the planet. Uriah Faber has good striking. Obviously, TJ Dillashaw had great striking, and he came from there. I mean, you know, working with Dwayne Ludwig obviously stepped his game up in the striking department, but you know, those guys know what they're doing. We're not talking about
yeah. And all those guys had a really good striking. All of them felt like real high class stand up artists, honestly. Some of them were actually from different countries. One was from Russia. One guy just came in from Russia for like 2 weeks and was training there for 2 weeks. He was telling me that, oh yeah, I have a fight and I'm going to train down here for Team Alpha Male, then go back up there and fight. I'm like, man, that's crazy. So all these guys are coming from everywhere and trying to get training in with, you know, Team Alpha Male, obviously, because they're a great gym and most of their fighters are in the UFC.
Yeah, cherry pick their training a little bit.
Yeah. But
it's interesting, you know, it's interesting that you say you got along with Garbrandt really well, that you enjoyed, you enjoyed sparring with him and, you know, that kind of pushed you to pick him in this fight. Because quite honestly, like in the media and especially on The Ultimate Fighter, he does not come off that way. He kind of comes off, I mean, he comes off badly to me. I think he there's a little bit of that Ronda Rousey thing, like on The Ultimate Fighter where she came off bad and Miesha Tate came off a little bit better. I mean, whether that's Ronda being herself and Miesha Tate being fake, you know, or even in this case on the show, if it's Cody hamming it up for the cameras, or if it's the way they edit it to make it look a little worse.
True.
But like in the last episode of The Ultimate Fighter, when Joe Stevenson gets the wild card pick in this recent episode of this current season of The Ultimate Fighter, he's like, man, he's saying some pretty disparaging things to Joe Stevenson. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's got like almost 20 fights in the UFC, man. Like let's not act like, you know, maybe you have the belt around your waist, but this guy has been there and done that. Like let him make his decisions. I don't know. He came off a little bit badly to me. And so I wasn't like a huge fan of him going into this fight, but Dominic Cruz has kind of always rubbed me the wrong way. Like his confident arrogance has always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And like, I've never been a huge fan of Dominic Cruz's fighting style. I know a lot of people love it, but like the difference that I see between him and a guy like Mighty Mouse or him and a guy like TJ Dillashaw is, you know, like I feel for me, it feels like Dillashaw is trying to finish fights a little more. I feel like his combinations are a little more classic striking, and Dominic Cruz has created his own type of striking. You know, he throws those really weird right kick, right punch combinations where he's ducking one way and punching a different direction, you Agreed. Know? And,
yeah.
And so for me, it just never really, I don't know. It just wasn't appealing to me, his style. I love his ability to break.
Well, he's not finishing fights, you know.
Yeah,
he's elusive, but most of his fights go the distance.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one thing to go the distance, and it's another thing to go the distance and like just completely beat the brakes off a dude, you know.
True.
Like Mighty Mouse, I mean, he fights at a much higher caliber than a lot of the people he's facing. Or Joanna Jędrzejczyk is, you know, she goes 5 rounds. But you watch what she does for those 5 rounds and you're like, holy shit, man, like that is intense. But I don't see a Dominic Cruz fight and go, oh man, that is intense. I go, oh man, he just Floyd Mayweathered that guy. Like,
yeah. And
you know,
and that's how his type of fighting is sort of like a Floyd Mayweather type style where he's more moving. He reads more. He's not going straight forward into punches while he's throwing punches. It's a very unorthodox type of game from Dominic Cruz's standpoint.
Yeah. I can understand why people like his, you know, like his fights. I totally get it. But for me, it's just not that appealing to me. I feel like he's one of those guys who, when you watch him fight, he's like a fighter's favorite fighter. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
You know, you have these like behind the scenes, you have guys who are like, oh man, you know, they look at it a little bit differently. And I know you're a big fan of the way he darts and the way, you know, the way he shuffles and darts and misdirects.
Yes.
And so like, but like for me, it's like, man, stop bouncing around. Jesus Christ. True. Punch this guy, man. Kick this guy. Punch it like you're faster than him. Get him, you know? And so like when I'm watching the fight with Cody Garbrandt and Dominic Cruz, my gut was like, you know what? I want to see what Garbrandt can do here. But I certainly didn't expect the performance that we got out of him. But you know, I was pulling for Garbrandt. I have to say in this fight. But let's dive into it a little bit. You know, the first round starts, and before the bell even rings, they're already just jawing with each other. You would think that one of the Diaz brothers was out there. It was like,
yeah,
they were really going back and forth, man. It was
taunting each other,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. And that's just from the build up of it all. You know, they build up this fight. Words were said from both sides. And now you have a 25-year-old who has something to prove,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have a guy who has multiple injuries, but hasn't lost. He's still killing the game, even with all the injuries that Dominic Cruz has mm-hmm. or has had.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has something to prove. This little guy is not going to sit here and take my belt from me, you know, from his standpoint. And that's obviously going to make a good fight.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
it was. It was good. 5 minutes, 5-round fight, 25 minutes the whole time, all pace. It was good.
Yeah, totally. That in that first round, you know, when it started, Dominic, you know, just like usual, he starts with that movement, you know, right out of the gate,
mm-hmm.
and
crouches.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I thought it was interesting that Garbrandt didn't really seem bothered by the movement at all. Like you know, even though early on Dominic has that, you know, he's getting in there, getting, you know, building up his rhythm, bouncing yeah. around, you know, moving, changing, you know, changing stances, didn't seem to bother Cody. I thought that was really telling early on.
I agree in the fact that Cody knows exactly what Dominic Cruz is going to do. Only why? Because he has Uriah Faber, and he had TJ Dillashaw and Joseph Benavidez all yeah. fight Dominic Cruz. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, Cody Garment has obviously trained to be a guy like Dominic Cruz.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In a sense that his other teammates got ready for Dominic Cruz. Yes, they all lost, which is unfortunate on their side. But yeah, going into this fight, it just looked like he was just more confident in his stand-up, and he was just more confident knowing how to read Dominic Cruz from all the experience that he had.
Yeah, for sure. That definitely made a difference. I didn't really think about that, but yeah, I mean, he has all those losses from his teammates to look at and see, you know, what they did right and what they did wrong. So, you know, kind of you can get a sense for how you want to get in there, what type of pace you want to push, and, you know, how do you want to answer those questions of, you know, what are you going to do about him switching stances and whatever, you know?
Yeah, and when I went down there, when I was at Team Alpha Male, when I did Chris Holdsworth class, I think it was like a BJJ 1-1 Nogi class, Cody Garbrandt walks in and immediately starts doing footwork drills and immediately starts working with his boxing coach, slipping, using slips. We all know how good his slips were in that fight.
Yeah.
Jesus. And that's exactly what won him the fight, was just knowing how to read, using footwork, using head movement, and obviously his good boxing skills that are very underrated.
Yeah, it was early on in the first round, Garbrandt kind of puts that on display. He steps in and he lands a quick, like, 3 or 4 punch combination. I want to say he threw 4 punches and I think 3 of them landed, and he pulls away and Dominic goes to counter, and he just dodges and uses just some really clean head movement to duck this punch. And he pulls away and he does this little, like, shuffle step, like showboating, like, ooh, I'm faster than you. What's up?
Yeah. He showboated pretty early in that fight, which, man, that's dangerous. He pulled it off, though.
Yeah. Whenever somebody does that, and I think of showboating, I think of like old school guys. Like, I think when Matt Hughes coached the Ultimate Fighter, he was like, Rashad Evans was like, he won a fight and was showboating, and Matt Hughes is like, oh, it wouldn't happen if you're on my team. That's showboating crap. Get that out of here. I'm, you know.
Yeah, and honestly, it could have easily been to get inside Dominic Cruz's head.
Yeah, maybe.
You're sitting here in the first round, and you're slipping his jabs, you're slipping his, mm-hmm. his darts, getting his head, showboat, you know?
Yeah.
Early on, why not?
Yeah, totally.
If it's in your favor, do it.
Yeah, it makes sense. And that was the first example of him being faster than Dominic Cruz, which in this fight is, you know, it's obviously a really important part of this fight. You know, Dominic Cruz, a lot of his game is predicated on speed. You know, that's something that gets mentioned a lot with a lot of these young fighters today. They use their speed as a huge weapon. I mean, that's a big part of their game.
Yes.
And so, you know, some of the best fighters in the world are also some of the fastest fighters in the world. You know, some of the best football players in the world are also some of the fastest football players in the world. You know, I mean, there's a correlation there that makes a lot of sense, you know? So for Dominic Cruz, you know, to realize, like, right out of the gate, uh-oh, this guy's a little quicker than me, you know, I'm sure that bothered him a little bit, but it's not like he hasn't fought fast guys before, but nobody's, you know, you just hadn't seen this kind of like.
You think he'd be used to it from the Demetrius Johnson fight?
Yeah, maybe.
Demetrius Johnson is a quick
little fucker. He's super quick, but think about how long ago that fight was, because, like you were saying, Dominic Cruz gets hurt all the time, so he's had years off since that fight. And Uriah Faber's fast, but Uriah Faber is not Cody Garbrandt fast.
No.
He's certainly not Mighty Mouse fast, you know? So who knows, but...
Which brings me to my earlier response was the age difference. Did that play a part?
Maybe.
During the combos, during the exchanges, Cody Garbrandt being 25 years old and Dominic Cruz being 30, like, it obviously could have made that much of a difference.
Yeah.
That's just small of a difference. I'm going to be quicker than you.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to react faster than you are.
Well, Cody did a good job with that speed. And then he did a He did an excellent job with leg kicks in the first round. He, you know, I'm sure he saw the success that TJ Dillashaw had with leg kicks against Dominic Cruz and decided to work that into his game.
Which he'll never give him credit for, I bet.
Yeah, no.
During their feud, that's going on, he's not going to give him credit.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. It's funny. You see them feuding, but sometimes you see them talking, and you're like, oh, you guys really aren't that, like you guys don't like each other, but you're not, like, the animosity's not, like, it's not like Uriah Faber and Dominic Cruz. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not that level.
Yeah.
I think he's young, and he's like, this guy left the gym, meh, meh, meh. Like, you know, I'm sure there's more to it than that, but, you know, whatever, man. Let the guy have a job and have a life, and, you know, he's getting paid to coach somewhere. Like, come on, man. Like, I don't get the whole thing. It doesn't make any sense to me, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's very confusing because there's always two sides to a story.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that, you know, he kind of snaked his way out, and TJ's saying that, well, I was kicked out. So it's like, who are you really going to believe, and what's the official story?
Yeah, whatever. What
Cody Garbutt's part has in it, I'm not actually too sure. You know, I assumed it was like a Uriah Faber TJ Dillashaw thing because it's, yeah, Faber's gym.
That's what it sounds like. But whatever. It's silly. It, you know, that certainly doesn't have any bearing on this fight. You know, but
no.
So in the first round, towards the end of the first round, something that I noticed that happened was throughout the majority of that round, Cody did a good job of not chasing and not falling victim to the movement of Dominic Cruz. But towards the end of the round, he connects on a break with a counter, and then he chases. He chases after Dillashaw, and it almost leads to him getting taken down. I mean, thankfully he had a really good sprawl, but you know, it was the first time he chased him, and it was that quick opportunity that Dominic Cruz almost had to turn the tide in that round. You know, fortunately for Cody Garbrandt, it wasn't long after that he lands a huge takedown of his own with like 30 seconds left in the round. He lands a monster takedown.
It was a very smooth takedown, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice and clean. And that goes back, you know, it must have been the reads that he knew Dominic Cruz was gonna make on him early on, because he got ready for this fight camp since Uriah Faber faced him on, yeah, basically. So it could have been from those reads, and the fact that he's an underrated wrestler as well. Cody Garbrandt has really good wrestling skills, and he's coming from Team Alpha Male. So the fact that he just darted in and just shot, it was a clean takedown.
Yeah, no, it was perfect. And you don't see a lot of people taking Dominic Cruz down, especially not that easily.
No.
Granted, he got up relatively quickly, but even still, it took him two attempts to get up. You know, it took him probably 15 seconds to get up. And for Dominic Cruz, that's a decent amount of time on your butt, because that guy probably gets up, you know, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I bet you his average get up from a takedown is probably 4 seconds.
Yeah,
I would agreed. Probably bet money on it. It's probably like 4 seconds. He doesn't stay down for very long. You know, he gets up really quick. But I think the story of that round was that Cody was able to connect on his counters better than Dominic Cruz was. And he certainly had the speed advantage, and he did land. He did land like the biggest shot in the round. You know, he landed a couple clean that shots. 2-3, yeah. Right?
Two, mm-hmm. three. Yeah. The 2-3 was landing. He was definitely just trying to knock him out with that two, that overhand, right? That Cody was relentless with that, yeah. But it goes back to what this fight was going, was happening is, He's either going to sit here, Cody Garbrandt, he's either going to sit here and come in and either just sit on his punches and throw, which in that first few rounds is kind of what he did, was just sit here and, you know, throw and bang, combinations, punches and punches. And it caught Dominic Cruz, obviously, one good time. All he needs is one of those punches to catch with those small gloves. And
yeah.
Obviously put him down one good time, and that that right there alone is going to hit you mentally early on in a championship title fight. Like, ah, shit, I just got knocked down.
Yeah.
Now I have to pick up the pieces and I got to make up for it.
Yeah. I think Dominic Cruz, like, in the past, something he's done is, like, someone will connect on a punch and he'll be off balance and fall. And in cases even where he gets knocked down, I feel like he goes back to that. And he's like, well, I was off balance because I move weird and blah, blah, blah. But in this fight, there was no question about it. There's a number of times that Garbrandt connects and he goes down. And you're like, uh-oh, like, here it comes. But...
He can kind of use that to his advantage.
He uses it all the time, though. Yeah, he says it all the time. It's like one of his excuses. That was, like, early on. That's one of his excuses. He's sitting there breaking down tape of him and Uriah Faber's fight, and it's like he's just like, no, you didn't hit me because I was moving this. Like, come on, man. Like, the dude hit you in the face. Just, like, you won the fight. Like you know, like, look, let's not pretend he didn't connect on you, man. Like, come on.
It's a good strategy.
Yeah,
right. It really is a good strategy. Yeah. It's a good excuse,
I guess. But it's just Cody another Garbrandt, reason people dislike him a little bit.
True. And with Cody Garbrandt, that obviously wasn't the case. Those punches were flush, and those punches hurt him. The ones that did land.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think for me, I thought Garbrandt won the first round. I thought it was a little bit more clear than maybe the commentary would lead you to believe. I thought it seemed pretty obvious to me, but then again, you know, if I watched it three or four times, maybe it's closer than I thought. But in my eyes, I thought that Garbrandt did a better job of being in a position that allowed him to not be reactionary. You know, like, he definitely dictated the majority of that round in my eyes.
The first round?
Yeah.
First round, yeah. I agree. Yeah. Definitely won that first round. Dominic Cruz, you know, obviously he tries to read his opponent during those first early rounds and tries to set it off later on in the rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously most of his fights have ended indecisions.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a reader. He reads a lot of his opponents. But you have Cody Garbrandt here, who has something to prove. Young age, good boxer. You know, he's going to throw hands, and he's going to throw them early.
Yeah. So the second round starts up, and Dominic comes out and lands some good shots early. And Cody in response lands a solid right left combination, and then Dominic counters, and he actually rocks Garbrandt early on in the second round. And I don't think that if you're listening to Joe Rogan and Mike Goldberg, you're gonna see what I was looking at, because I was looking at Cody Garbrandt's face, and his facial expression changed dramatically. Like, and when I see that, that's a huge red flag. It's kind of like when a guy gets hit with a body shot, even though he's still got his hands up and his chin tucked, you see his face and you're like, uh-oh, that dude's insides are shutting down. His face changed. And I think it was the first time that Dominic landed on him in the fight where he was like, oh, Dominic Cruz can hit hard too. You know what I mean? Like, It made a difference to me.
Yeah, and now we're in the second round, and now you have Dominic Cruz sitting here throwing a lot more harder. You know, he's not throwing his feints. You know, now he's throwing harder. He feels like he lost that first round. Mm-hmm. He has to make up for it.
Yeah, I agree. He actually to me used jabs and kicks pretty effectively for the first half of the round. He was landing with them, and he seemed like he was trying to get his rhythm more, trying to get that movement that he's known for. He was trying to Dominic Cruz. He was trying to use those feints a little bit, trying to dart in and out, like you say, he does a lot of darts, you know. But you're right, he was trying to throw with more power, and I think he was throwing a lot more wild. Like, you could see he was throwing punches like he was trying to throw a baseball. It was really, like, heavy overhand.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it was that he wanted to respond to the power of Garbrandt, maybe.
Possibly. I do remember him saying in a post-fight interview that he, you know, wanted to put on a show for the crowd, which I mean, it's a title fight. He doesn't want to be a boring fighter. He doesn't want the excuse of, you know, him winning. Oh, he's just a boring fighter. You're just going to duck and dodge, basically. So yeah. The fact that he said that obviously takes into consideration that he sort of wanted to bang, just not get sucked into it like he did.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this round really was a little more Dominic Cruz centric to me. He seemed to be a little more comfortable in round two. I think his corner gave him some good advice. You know, they're certainly looking for him to land more. But Cody Garbrandt's corner also gave him some good advice not to chase Dominic Cruz, not to play his game. But Dominic Cruz, with about 2 minutes left in the second round, he lands this big knee on Garbrandt. And I think that really woke Garbrandt up a little bit, because he seemed, in the second round to me, he didn't seem quite as fluid. He didn't seem quite as comfortable. And
Cody?
Yeah.
After the knee?
Yeah, after the knee. Dom landed like
a scramble, maybe?
I don't remember if it was from a scramble. There's about 2 minutes left in the round, and Dom lands a huge knee. Cody kind of wakes up a little bit, and he lands back on Dominic, like in response, pretty quick. And Dominic recovers and lands a jab and a kick. But he keeps looking for those big shots. He keeps looking for these big shots, and he's almost getting into a brawl. Like, which is not his game, you know. Like he's almost now at this point getting roped into Cody's game,
yeah.
And it was, you know, not that Cody's a brawler, but Cody's certainly going to be more willing to play on his feet and throw than Dominic Cruz is.
Yeah,
you know, Cody's got power. The dude, guys with power are more willing to do that. They're going to bet their right hand over your right hand.
He has a great amateur boxing record, Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah,
so he's going to want to plan, and he's going to get the better of those exchanges, especially if you have Dominic Cruz, who his whole fucking career sat here and is angling off and darting and crouching. You know, he's doing all these movements, but if you fucking stand there with a dude who can bang, you know, you're kind of going to lose that battle. And yeah, you got sucked into it definitely during later the rounds. We'll get to the later rounds later, obviously, but... The second round, at the end of the second round and the beginning of the third round, is when you start seeing Cody Garbrandt leaning towards the center and starting to call him like, hey, come here, you come to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and totally.
Obviously played in his favor, and it sucks for Dominic Cruz that he got led into that, because that's exactly what happened. He got led into that.
He did. He definitely started fighting Cody Garbrandt's fight, and you watch the entirety of this fight, and it really is just that. It's Dominic Cruz not ever really being able to get his game off. And there's a couple points where he's actually looks pretty damn frustrated. I think it really starts in the third round, actually. I thought the third round was really entertaining. Probably my favorite round of the fight, actually. Because this is the round, I don't know if you remember this, this is the round where Cody opens up with a head kick attempt, and he slips, and on the get up, he lands two huge right hands, and then they both kind of come in, and they clash heads, and Dominic Cruz gets a cut over his eye.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's immediate, but Cody just pushes back in and tags Dom with a huge right hand again. He slips multiple shots from Dominic Cruz, and Dominic Cruz, like, you could just see this look on his face as he kind of stands up straight, and he looks so frustrated. Like, he looks so frustrated. He just caught, like, he caught this guy's head kick. Like, he slipped, and he ends up the loser of the exchange, you know?
Well, he caught that head kick, actually,
yeah, he
right?
caught yeah. that head kick, and Garbrandt falls, right? Yeah. And
well, that one landed.
Yeah.
Slow motion, it landed, but he caught it, and yeah. took him down. But that actually went, that leg kick landed
yeah.
like right on his elbow, or is it not elbow, sorry, eyebrow.
Eyebrow, yeah, yeah.
Eyebrow.
But Dominic Cruz, who's in position to win that exchange because Garbrandt is now on his back,
yeah.
ends up taking the worst of that entire exchange.
Yeah.
And even when they're in defense, they clash heads, boom, Dominic Cruz gets cut, and like... You know, a lot of fighters will tell you, oh, I don't notice the blood. But some fighters will tell you, man, I start bleeding and I think I'm losing the fight.
Yeah, that was right above the eye. That
yeah.
was right, like right in the middle. And it was a, It was a wide cut. Yeah. I don't know how deep it was, but that was a fucking wide cut.
Yeah, it was wide. I mean, he bled a lot. I mean, it certainly got worse throughout the fight, but, you know, he looked...
And that could have been why he was so frustrated, because he knew it was a headbutt. He knew he didn't get hit. Mm-hmm. Those two straight rights that Cody landed on him, the crowd and the judges could have immediately said, oh, he got hit.
Yeah.
I mean, they have replay, of course, but... You know,
yeah, but the judges don't see that.
Yeah,
they're not watching the replay.
Yeah, so
you know, but
that's immediate frustration right there. Mm-hmm. I know if I've actually just clashed heads recently, boxing, because you know you're ducking and everything, and we both ducked at the same time. That's fucking annoying. That hurts. You know, if one and you can easily get cut. Thankfully, both mm-hmm. of us didn't get cut. But in a fight, like that's gotta be annoying. Which.
Anytime you clash heads doing anything, it hurts, right? Like, yeah. Like when I was a kid, I was at some kid's pool party. We're having a relay race and, you know, we're swimming towards each other, me and this other kid. And we swam right into each other and clashed heads. And I got knocked out in a swimming pool. Like I was out cold. Like they picked me up and pulled me out, but I was, you know, I was out, and that was just swimming, man. Like that's I wasn't crazy. Swinging my head forward. You know what I mean?
Right,
like that, I mean, anything will put you down like that, you know, and if you're going to get cut, that's going to suck. But Dominic Cruz was frustrated, and in his frustration, he lands a shot on Cody, and Cody immediately responds, but with strength, and lands like a much more damaging shot than what Dominic Cruz lands. And to me, it was kind of like the story of the fight. Like everything that Dominic Cruz could land, Cody could land like twice and harder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what the total, like what the stats were in terms of total punches landed. Maybe they were closer, but it just felt like if Dominic Cruz was throwing one punch, Cody was throwing two punches.
Yeah. And that could be because of his boxing background. I mean, he's what, 30 something and two as a
he's like amateur. 30 yeah like 31 and one or 31 and two or something, so like
he,
that
yeah he obviously has hands and he's a young guy. He's a young 25 year old with all these skills in boxing, and he's taking it to MMA and against a dude who's sitting there boxing with him and exchanging. I don't know, from that third round of, because he wasn't moving at all. Dominic Cruz wasn't moving at that time.
Not like you'd expect him to.
Yeah, exactly. Not like we'd expect him to. Which obviously you're gonna get rocked, especially if you're going against Cody Garbrandt, mm-hmm. who's you know, he's not big. Both of you guys are not big. They're very slim guys. You know, somewhat muscle, but Cody is obviously the heavy hitter than Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz, because he moves and he's so elusive. With his slips and his darts and everything, his punches aren't going to be as hard as a guy who's sitting on his punches and putting his weight into those punches.
Yeah, you can get the full motion of your hips moving you in. Yeah, yeah.
And we've seen it from round one, and I forgot there's another time he knocked him down. I can't remember if it was round three.
We're about to get to that. It was round three.
Okay, it was round three. Okay, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that third, when you get hit by Cody Garbrandt, you're obviously gonna feel it.
Yeah, I mean it's not gonna tickle, that's for sure. There was 2 minutes left in the third round, and I thought it was really funny. Cody kind of walked away from Dominic Cruz and goes towards the center of the octagon and kind of like gives him, like, you know, he puts his arms out like, come on over, man. He like escorts him to the center of the cage. Like it was the one time that he did like a showboaty thing that I thought was like, okay, that's perfect, you know, because there's so many times throughout the fight where he lands a punch and then he points at Dominic Cruz and like wags his finger in his face, or he's like, or he shakes his head, or he like laughs at him, or, you know, like there were so many times he did that in this fight. It was like, okay, come on, man, enough. Just get in there and do this, you know. But this time they disengage, and Cody like walks away and goes to the center of the octagon. He's like, come on, come with me. you know, escorts him over, and then they get to the center, he lands a strong jab, they exchange, and Cody pop, another right hand, knocks him down, and you're just like,
was that the one when he points at him?
No, that's not the one where he points at him.
I hope that one's coming up, because that one's my favorite.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, and that's really going back to, you know, reading what Dominic Cruz's style is, and mm-hmm. all the training that Cody Garment has done in the past with, you know, all his teammates and him preparing for Dominic Cruz. Mm-hmm. Is he knew his reads. Now we're getting later on into the rounds. Now he really knows his reads, and now he's showboating, saying, yeah, your shit's not working. It's not going to work on me. I know what you're doing,
yeah,
and I'm going to make you play into my game. I'm going to take you to the center of the ring, and I'm going to make you brawl.
Yeah. I was watching this fight, I was wondering to myself, is this the beginning of the end for Dominic Cruz in terms of people not being able to figure out how to beat him? You know what I mean? Did Cody Garbrandt go out there and develop a blueprint for people to fight Dominic Cruz? Like, are people now going to be able to, you know, are people now figuring out his movement, where before it was very erratic, but now people are seeing the patterns that exist in his movement? You know, they finally have, you know, 5, 6, 7 examples of it where they can watch and they can say, okay, when he does this, he's going to do this. When he moves his head this way, he's going to go that way. You know what I mean? Like, where when it's the first 2, 3, or 4 times you see it, you don't know what to expect. It's like when TJ Dillashaw came out against Henan Barao and fought a different fight than anyone had ever seen him fight. There's no way. Yeah, right?
That was a great fight.
Great fight. And there's no way Henan Barao knew what was coming or how to develop, you know, a system to deal with that timing. And now Cody Garbrandt, like you were saying, he's had all these fights to watch where people have lost, and he's finally been able to look at that information and absorb it and say, okay, here's how this is going to go. So I was watching that fight and I was kind of wondering that. I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens to Dominic Cruz in his return. Especially, it will be interesting when we find out who he's fighting next, because if he fights TJ Dillashaw, you know, now Dillashaw has seen what Garbrandt has done, and I'm positive he'll watch that tape, you know, as he leads up to a fight with Cruz again, or, you know, any number of people he could fight, obviously, but it'll be interesting to see, and it'll be interesting to see who they match him up against, because I kind of want to know if this fight develops a game plan for other people. And how well do they execute it? Or is it only a guy with the amount of speed and the good footwork of Cody Garbrandt that can do it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right? Every fight's different. Every single fight's different. It depends on what you know about your opponent. Mm-hmm. And with Cody, he had so much experience with this. A young guy, explosive guy, mm-hmm. great boxing skills. He made it work. He made it work for him. And he let him in because he knew all his reads and because he was taunting him during the first, second, third, fourth, fifth round. Like, it's just going to be frustrating. And you can see it on his face during the third round with Dominic Cruz. It was frustrating. So yeah, he just got sucked into that game. Will he get sucked in it with his next fight? Probably. Or he's probably right now thinking of different patterns to use, because now mm-hmm. he knows that the other patterns are exposed.
Yeah, that's a great point. He's a really smart fighter, and that seems like something he would do. He would go back, he'd watch that fight and say, okay, I'm not gonna move this way now, I'm gonna try to do this. And certainly with the time off he's having, like obviously he's gonna keep developing his game. He's not the type of fighter who would just rest on his laurels, I don't think, you know, at least not in my eyes. But I wonder how much Cody Garbrandt's being undefeated and getting this title shot, like, I wonder how much that played into his confidence, man. That must be huge, you know, huge for a guy to go in with, you know, being undefeated, walking in, feeling invincible. You know, you've never felt defeat. Like, you know, that, I think that first loss for a fighter is really important, you know, for a lot of guys, because it really shows you a lot about who you are, about your resolve, you know. And some people deal with it differently. I was at Ben Eggly's fight when he lost his first fight, you know, his first pro fight, yeah, for Titan card. I was there,
yeah.
And after he lost the fight, he immediately when he was in the back, he's hanging out, you know, he came over and he wanted to know what I saw. Like, hey, what did you see in that fight? You know, he's really like interested in how, this happened, you know?
He's a humbling guy.
Yeah. But yeah. also he's very cerebral the way he thinks about fights and the way he breaks things down, you know? So there's guys that take it that way and they immediately are like, shit, what did I do? How can I change things? Whatever. There are other guys who they'll lose a fight. And I've seen other guys lose their first fight and they leave. They take off, they're gone. And then you say, hey man, let's talk about, you know, why don't we sit down and I'll write an article about your fight and we'll see, you know, you can tell people how you're going to come back and, you know, what you learned from your loss. And they say, I don't want to talk about my loss. Mm. I don't want to talk about that. You know, so the way people deal with those losses is huge. And the first loss for a fighter is really, like, to me, is really important. You know, it's different in MMA than in boxing. You know, Floyd Mayweather, obviously, you know, the odds of him losing a fight are very low. But how many fights did he have that were just, like, designed for him to win? Of course. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you have a guy, you know, you look at some of the guys that Dominic Cruz has fought. You know, he fought Uriah Faber. You know, he's got two wins over Faber. He's fought him three times. You know, he's got the fight with TJ Dillashaw. He's got the fight with Mighty Mouse. He's got the fight with Joseph Benavidez. He's got fights with Ian McCall, Brian Bowles. He's got a lot of really high level guys, you know, and even Cody Garbrandt, for that matter, has fought Thomas Almeida and Takeo Mizugaki, and, you know, leading into this fight, those are big fights, man. And so, you know, for him to have no losses, it's got to do something for his psyche. But, you know, I'm curious one day when Cody Garbrandt loses his first fight, you know, what happens? Where does he go? You know?
Yeah.
Like, it'll be interesting to see. But
he's a young guy. 25, yeah. Has the UFC bantamweight title, you know, at that when I was 25, because I'm 28 now, so I'm older than him.
You old man, you.
I know, that sucks. Yeah, this fucker has a 35 belt.
You're gonna die any day. It's all over. 28, just by the plot.
Oh yeah,
call it a life.
A lot of 34 year olds are sitting here like, I'm turning this podcast off.
34.
Fuck this guy. Yeah, you know, so him being 11-0 right now, right? He's 11-0. Yeah, 11-0. It is going to see how he handles that first loss, but yeah. just by the way he acts, and from when I met him and I went down there, like,
yeah,
it could have hurt him. Could he just sit here and like give up altogether? I doubt it. I just think he'll come back even stronger when he does lose. Or he just takes that and just makes a bunch of excuses, because there are those type of fighters who just make a shitload of excuses.
I think it depends on when you lose. Because if you lose your first fight when you're 21, versus if you're one of these fighters who are, you know, the tippy top of the food chain, and they can go, you know, 15-0 or whatever, you know, you're 15-16-0, and say you're 26. 27, you're going to handle it a lot differently than if you're 21. And I know there's a lot of 21 year old kids out there who think the difference between 21 and 27 isn't a lot, but it's a lot.
Yeah,
that's life experience. And in between 21 and 28 years old, you might get married, you might have a kid, you might buy a house, you might get a different job, shit, you might go bankrupt, you might have, you know, you're going to learn a lot about yourself over those 5, 6, 7 years.
Oh yeah.
And so you're going to handle it differently. So we'll see what happens with Cody, but for now he hasn't lost. And so let's get back into the fight a little bit. Round four is the round that you want to talk about, I think, the most. Is this is the round where Cody knocks Dominic down and does the point where he points at him.
Yeah, hard two. it was a hard two that he hit him with.
So Dom opens this round up with he focuses back in on those leg kicks. I don't know what he's thinking he should do at this point, because he's probably feeling like he's losing the fight.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a way to get back to his game plan, because he did throw kicks early on. He got back to those leg kicks. And they opened up an exchange in the center. And like early on, again, Dominic is just drawn back into this brawl style. They like get back in the center and they throw these punches back and forth. And that's when Cody lands the monster right hand. Cruz gets, uh,
he lands, collapses, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Cruz drops. He lands this monster right hand, and it's like Cruz gets back up and lands a ride of his own. But it was such a missed opportunity for Cody Garbrandt in my eyes, because he landed that punch and Dominic hits the ground and he's almost on all fours at one point. You know, he's leaning forward with his hands on the ground and Garbrandt is like pointing at him like, ha, it's over. You know, like it almost seemed like he thought that was going to put him out.
Trying to get an easy stoppage.
Yeah, you know.
Controversial stoppage.
Yeah, but like this is a title fight, man. This is the UFC. This is a title fight. Like, get down there, like, throw a few more punches and maybe you do get the stoppage victory. How huge would it be if you got a stoppage victory over Dominic Cruz in your first title fight?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's huge.
It's a huge deal to win, but like, man, to put him away, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. That's
agreed.
You know, that's exactly what you want. I mean, you know, cut this guy another check right now. He just stopped Dominic Cruz with punches in the fourth round. You know, or jump on his back, you know, he jump on his back and choke him out, or do, you know, or try to get mount. You know what I mean? Look at like in the fight with Max Holloway and Jose Aldo. Max Holloway got on the ground and got on top of Jose Aldo. Like, was not, it was relentless. You know, like do that to him. You know,
yeah.
Get some top control on him. I know you like that part where he points at him, but to me, I hated it.
Only because I kind of get, like, Dominic Cruz is talking all this shit during his camp. All the time, he's talking all this shit. Words are exchanged from both guys. Cody's a young guy, so he has a temper.
He's emotional.
He's so emotional, and you can see that during the Ultimate Fighter. Not that I've watched this whole, like, season at all. But, you know, just the highlights of it.
Sure, like, the clips.
Know, yeah, the clips of it.
Who he's watches it all anymore?
Right, yeah. He's a very emotional guy. So, I can just tell he wanted to more embarrass him than finish him. In that point right there. When he knocked him down.
Yeah.
You just got knocked down again.
Yeah.
Get back up so I can do it again.
Yeah, well, speaking of get back up so I can do it again... Cruz gets up and lands a right hand, Cody, you know, Cody showboating a little bit, and that, you know, that bites him in the butt a little bit, but Garbrandt turns around and knocks him back down again, and then he gets back up and Garbrandt knocks him down again.
Yeah.
And then Dominic Cruz gets up and Cody knocks him down again. It was just like, it was this crazy succession of knockdowns. It was like pop, pop, pop. Like man, that was,
and I think most of those were all right hands.
They were all right hands.
Yeah.
And like, man, you have him. You have him in a position where, like, man, you clearly it's a 10-8 round at that point in my eyes. Like, all those knockdowns, that's a 10-8. Like, he dominated that round.
Yeah.
In a way that we never have seen anyone dominate against Dominic Cruz. Like, you've not seen that from him. You don't see that in a lot of fights. You don't see a guy get what is it? So let's count it. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 knockdowns, you know? Like, come on. You don't see that a lot. That was crazy.
Yeah, and now we're getting to the later rounds and Cody's reads are getting a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Those leg kicks that Dominic Cruz is throwing, they're not in a combination. He's not hiding those kicks. Those kicks are just coming from the ground.
Yeah, that's true.
So Cody sees that and he's just throwing that overhand right, catching him because he's not setting those kicks up. So
yeah, you're right. That's true. He really did throw a lot of naked kicks. Versus, there are a couple times where he throws his
overhand
traditional
too.
Well, he'll throw that he'll throw that right kick and then the overhand,
yeah,
like almost they almost feel like they're simultaneous.
It's one of his patterns.
It's
definitely one of his patterns that
but it's
does.
A huge weapon for him, and you're right, he didn't use it quite as well.
He started to slow down in the fourth and fifth round. He started to slow down, and for good reason. I heard this on Joe Rogan's podcast when Dominic Cruz, I don't know if you listened to that podcast. Mm-hmm. That was a very good podcast, first off. Dominic Cruz and Joe Rogan, that was really good. The way he talked about his his injuries during every single fight, it was crazy. Only because, you know, how do you survive off knee injuries? He has like two or three reconstruction knee surgeries, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And during each of these big fights, all these championship fights, he's going through an injury. And with Cody Garbrandt, he doesn't have any injury. He has, I always forget the technical term for it, but he has a foot injury. Mm-hmm. If you notice in that fight, both his feet were taped.
Does he have plantar fasciitis?
I think that might be it.
Yeah, but I mean, man, like, I have plantar fasciitis. Like, it sucks, but like,
he said in the Joe Rogan podcast that during that fight camp, some days he had to like get out of bed and crawl to the bathroom and soak his feet in warm water.
Yeah, he did say that, and I've heard a couple people say that. Maybe mine's just not that bad. I don't know. Like, I've heard Bert Kreischer talk about his where he had to crawl. You know, he had to crawl to and just mine's not that bad. But like, there are days. Like, I used to work in a job for like 10 years where I stood up at a counter for most of the day, where I was standing up in a shop all day. And there were days where I couldn't put weight on my foot. I had to just not have, you know, weight on my foot, and it sucks. But like, there are things you can do, you know, there are treatments that you can do that can help a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it certainly sucks, but at least he doesn't have a blown out knee again going into this fight, you know? I mean,
yeah, I think this time his knees are healthy.
Who's 100% going into a fight?
I mean, yeah, me and Brian Nero were just talking about this. No one's really 100% when they go into fights at all.
Right?
You could say it, but
you're as close as you're going to get. Yeah.
Yeah.
As close as you're going to get, but like, who's really 100%? I mean, you're training, you're sparring, just cutting weight takes enough out of a guy, you know? Some people don't recover from their weight cuts, and now you can't use IVs. And so these guys who are cutting these tremendous amounts of weight, they don't have a great way to rehydrate. You can drink all the Pedialyte you want, but your body's not going to absorb it properly, you know? So, you know, people aren't 100% going into fights, and that's the, you know, that's the breaks, man. Like,
no, you
like,
can see I'm sure
Cody had something he was dealing with during that fight. You know, maybe he doesn't talk about it, but it's like that stigma with a lot of like Brazilian fighters that always have an excuse after the fight, you know. That's a stigma, but I mean it's not entirely true, obviously. The
steroids didn't work.
Well, that's a whole nother hill of beans, but you know, or like a guy like Rampage, he's always got something to say after a loss. And it's like, look, man, like nobody's 100%. Like, we get it. That sucks. You know, like,
it sucks, but
yeah,
don't take the fight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not a huge Michael Bisping fan, but the guy goes out there with, you know, his one eye is totally messed up, man. Like, that's a detriment to him. You know what I mean? Like, that's all there is to it, you know? And he goes out there, and you never hear him say, oh, well, I couldn't see that well because I have this messed up eye. You know what I mean? Like, it just, you know, that's not the thing, you know? So I don't know, man. I like Dominic Cruz in terms of his ability to break down fights. And so as an announcer, I like him okay. But
analyzing
really,
fights, yeah, he's really good at that.
I like him as an analyst. That's how I like him the best. I don't want him in the booth while I'm watching a fight. I want Brian Stan in there, and I want John Anik in there, and maybe Joe Rogan, you know. But I don't need Dominic Cruz.
How cool would that be to have him on there?
Right, you know? But for me, Cruz as an analyst in a breakdown show, that's how I like to watch him. You know, like, when he's done fighting, if he just wants to be a coach, you know, I could see him being a guy like Greg Jackson. I could see him being a guy like Matt Hume. You know, he looks at fights differently, you know. So you know, you watch him break down fights, and so for me, you know, that's how I feel about Dominic Cruz. But you know, whatever. But yeah. Getting back to this fight, the fifth round, I think the fifth round is probably the like least eventful round of the whole fight for me, personally. Like, it didn't do a lot for me.
It's the fifth round, 25 minutes going in there. They're both tired, so it's slowing down a little bit. I get it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're still exchanging. Dom is still kicking, but Cody now is catching the kicks. He's returning a little bit. one thing that I thought was really interesting in the fifth round, and I hadn't noticed this, actually Mike Goldberg pointed it out. He said the fight's all on the feet, no clinching either. I hadn't noticed that they hadn't done any clinch work really in rounds in the first four rounds. They hadn't really clinched up.
Yeah, there's no clinch.
They weren't against the cage hardly at all. That really blew my mind. And like a curse, you know, the end of this round is Cody clinching Dominic Cruz against the fence for probably a minute or 45 seconds. But really, aside from that, there was no clinch work in this fight. And I find that kind of interesting when you have a stand-up fight, kickboxing fight. There's at least one or two times, especially in a 25-minute fight, where a guy's going to want to put you up against the cage and kind of, you know, maybe it's a point to rest. Maybe it's a place to try to score a takedown. But that, to me, that was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until you just said it as well.
Right?
I did not notice that. That was the one thing that didn't happen. Besides any jiu-jitsu being used in that fight, there's no jiu-jitsu at all either. But it's a stand-up fight. You'd think you'd see some clinching.
A little bit.
And Dominic Cruz obviously moves a lot.
Yeah.
He creates all these angles. So if you want to clinch up with him, how hard is that going to be, honestly? That's going to be fucking difficult.
Yeah, but he wasn't fighting his fight. In the fifth round, it was him being frustrated. Cody wasn't chasing him. Cody wasn't going after him. Dominic was being forced to take the fight to Cody.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Cody's avoiding everything that Dominic is putting at him.
This is where footwork really comes in handy.
Yeah, the fifth round, his footwork definitely was on display. But for me, he kind of coasted. I thought Cody coasted in round five. And after round four, where you put Dominic Cruz down on his butt four or five times, like, really? You're going to go in the fifth round, you're going to coast? Go in the fifth round and finish this fight, man. Like, put your stamp on it. You know what I mean?
True.
Like we were saying before, like, could you imagine if you had finished this fight? Like, I think we'd look at it in a completely different light. Even though people look at it as like, wow, Cody Garbrandt, great fight. Can you believe he beat, you know, Dominic Cruz? How crazy was that? Like, if he went in there and he finished this fight, man, it would have been, like, for my money, I think I'd view it in a completely different way.
Yeah, definitely. I believe that just the footwork alone was just too much for Dominic Cruz, because he's frustrated. I assume he knows that he's losing this fight.
Oh, totally. He knows.
He got knocked down multiple times.
The urgency in his corner, I thought, was tremendous. Actually, the corner work for Dominic Cruz in between rounds four and five, I thought was great. They didn't just go in there and say, you got to finish the fight. They gave him specific instructions on what they wanted him to do but with urgency, like, hey man, this is it. Like, you got to do it. And I think he knew that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, after the fourth round, he's probably thinking, shit, I'm lucky he didn't finish me.
True.
Or it's Dominic Cruz. I doubt he was really thinking that. But, you know, maybe in his mind's eye.
Yeah, he had that cut. He's tired now.
And the cut is even worse at this point. That cut is gnarly.
Yeah.
After the fourth round, that cut is gnarly.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, just at that type of level, which is, that's where I want to get. Where I'm cut, I have a deep ass cut, but I'm moving forward.
Yeah,
like, just that mentality alone is, how can you not respect that?
You know?
Because he is fourth and fifth round, he's chasing Cody, but Cody's footwork is obviously on point.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about there's no clinching because, you know, Garbrandt's more of a boxer. I don't really see him as a kickboxer.
Mm-hmm.
He throws hands very well. He throws combos very well. He was definitely more confident in his boxing against a dude who doesn't slash forward.
Yeah.
He creates these angles. And it's really, from experience, it's really hard to catch a guy when you're sitting here angling out.
Yeah, well, and Dominic Cruz has like 3 inches of reach on Cody Garbrandt, and so like I was really surprised that didn't play more of a factor in the fight, you know.
3 inches?
Yeah, 2.5. It's 68 to 65 and a half, but like, you know, still it's enough to make a difference, you know, at least in my eyes.
I think so too. You should jab a little bit more than
exactly
what you're used to. Just create some distance, frustrate him.
And the punch he landed probably the best throughout the fight was the jab.
Yeah, it was just a jab.
You know,
simple ass jab.
He landed that jab. And I was I always talk about it, how important the jab is in mixed martial arts. It's totally underutilized. And the guys who are at the top of the game that, you know, that are champions, those guys, almost, you know, almost all of them, that's, they have good jabs. You know, when George St. Pierre was at the top of his game, he had a great jab. Jose Aldo has a great jab, you know, like, Conor McGregor has a great jab. I mean, it's so important and so underutilized, but for Dominic Cruz, it was the punch he landed the best. I mean, he certainly didn't throw it the hardest, but it was definitely the punch he landed the cleanest throughout the fight. But
and that's just because of his movement.
Yeah,
his movement. See the fight with GSP and Josh Koscheck?
Uh-huh.
That fight, yeah. And GSP was just throwing straight jabs. Mm-hmm. How big Josh Koscheck's eye was after that fight. Those are some stiff-ass jabs.
Yeah.
Again, he was working with Freddie Roach at that time. But
that's exactly why when people tell me that Conor McGregor is going to go fight Floyd Mayweather, I'm just like,
I shut that shit down real quick.
It is so, like, it is absurd to me to think that Conor McGregor would win that fight, and to think that Floyd Mayweather wouldn't just win with jabs and footwork. It, like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. Conor hits harder, so maybe he can knock him out, but man.
Like, I don't know.
These boxers, you know,
if, Canelo.
Right? Well, but if a guy in the UFC can dominate with a jab, and like, it's a decent jab, but it's not a Floyd Mayweather jab, you know what I mean? Like yeah. No one's technique is as perfect as his, right? Or at least that's the perception. So, you know, I just, you know, whatever.
I think that fight is so ridiculous.
It's stupid.
It really is. And people are playing into it. Oh, I want to see this fight. People, especially, non-MMA people who are not really into MMA. They're just, you know, fans of MMA. They're like, oh, yeah, Conor McGregor can win. He'll whoop his ass. I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, there's no way Conor McGregor will ever beat Mayweather. It's not happening.
You know, I say never say never, just in case, because there's always that chance that he catches him. But, like,
yeah, if he's in his 60s and...
Yeah, well, you know.
I can't see him with all the experience that Mayweather has. And he's just... You're going to let this MMA guy... I hate to say it because I'm an MMA guy, but he's going to let this MMA guy sit here and just KO him. Like, I just don't... I don't even think it's possible. Honestly, you have Skip Bayless on ESPN. I don't exactly
know... Skip Bayless is an idiot.
Yeah. Dude, and he says, so why don't you sign a contract with Conor McGregor? He's trying to build up this fight, and it's so annoying. Like, it really is annoying. I don't think Conor McGregor will ever beat Mayweather. I hope it does happen. I hope he gets the shit kicked out of him.
I don't think it'll happen, but if it does, you know, good on him for getting the money, because I think that's what it's about. I don't think he cares if he beats Floyd Mayweather. I mean, he probably wants to, and from what I've heard behind the scenes, like, you know, I've heard from some people who have trained at Straight Blast, and I've talked to a few people, and they say it's all he thinks about, it's all he talks about. So maybe he really does think he can win that fight. But I have to think, like, in my head, that really it's just about the money. And you know what? If he's gonna walk away and he's gonna make $50 million or $70 million or whatever the hell it's gonna be, like, good for him. Get the check. Get out, bro. Go buy all the Ferraris kudos you to want. Him for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one thing I can't
walk away.
For.
Yeah, you know, walk away. Fight Manny Pacquiao, man. Like, do it. Go get that big giant check that you want. I want to see it. But
he's playing it very well.
Whatever. Right. But Cody Garbrandt and Dominic Cruz, great fight.
Yeah, please.
And we finally get to see Dominic Cruz lose. You know, lose the title, you know, before he lost it due to injury. But now we get to actually see he loses it in the cage. Cody, after the fight, you know, he's there with a Make-A-Wish kid. I can't remember the kid's name.
Oh, yeah.
He was there with that kid. And that was a really heartfelt moment. He took the belt off after Dana put it on him and wrapped it around the kid. You know, he made it about that kid. And I thought that was really cool. Like, I'm...
Shows how he really is without that... Well, being in the fight.
You know what I mean? I saw that and I was like, ooh, maybe I do like this guy. You know what I mean? Maybe I am a fan. But watching him on The Ultimate Fighter has made me not enjoy him so much. But, you know, whatever. I mean, it's all TV. You know what I mean? Till you meet someone in person and deal with them, you never know. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, when the cameras are on you, for some people, you're just a different person.
Yeah, totally. But you know, this fight was an awesome fight, and it ends with Cody Garbrandt getting his hands raised, and you know, he takes home the title, and
becoming a new 135 pound for pound champ.
I think that wraps it up, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Do you have any sponsors, anybody you want to give a shout out? I see you're wearing a really nice t-shirt.
Yeah, I have my Rise Records t-shirt on. I'm always repping Rise. Dethrone, Dethrone Royalty. If you guys shop at JCPenney's or Kmart, wherever the fuck you guys shop at, stop shopping there, because it's just a waste of money. You literally like get your money's worth if you shop at Dethrone. That's www.dethrone.com. Rise Records is a big sponsor of mine. I love Rise Records. I'm really good friends with the owner, Fat House. You wouldn't believe this guy's house. So fat. It's in a... I think it's in like Southeast Portland or whatever. But
well, that's enough. We don't need to tell people.
His address is da 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 da. No, but he's a really nice guy, and he was going to sponsor me during my amateur career, actually. But I'm lazy. I don't get to things that quickly. So I'm pro now. Now I can actually like say like, okay, yeah, you can come sponsor me. And he did right off the bat.
He sponsored you, and I think he stepped up and also sponsored Brian Nero. So shout out to Rise Records.
Yeah.
And Dethrone, right on, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, man. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to finally get a chance to sit down and talk a little bit. So that wraps this one up, guys. Like I say every time, I know it can be really hard to narrow it down and pick just one fight. Oh, that's not what I say. Yeah, I say it every time, guys. I know it can be hard to pick just one fight, but think about it. What's your favorite fight?
Both of these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
Approaching the ring, weighing in at about 148 pounds, straight out of Midtown, one half the brain busters, although not a buster, the magnificent Sting, true ring technician, on drag to submission, whole competition, bold possible way, did I forget to mention, oh, back in the day, that top turnbuckle from that song, sun spray, so one way over another brother, I'ma get you inside of the square circle, and definitely hurt you serious, really bad, something awful, severely injured, every one of my contenders with my signature ender, it's called the mutilator. It's sort of like a crippler crossface mixed with a full Nelson. Throw in a sunset, flip a slight, toss up the hip, guaranteed to end the match on the 1-2-3 tip. And just to see if there's any tough guys in the house, on my way out, I'ma walk through the crowd, punching every motherfucker that's trying to get loud, swinging like I'm trying to put a hole in your face. Oh, but don't trip off of me, I'm really just mad cause I don't have that championship gold around my waist. But by the end of this EP, I bet you see the double B, me and 2Max with the G-O-L-D. Led to victory by our manager memo, about to bring the titles home and it's no problemo. Bring the titles back and it's gonna hurt.
Tag team defeated Demolition on Saturday night's main event.
He was just trying to get his leg away from him and it inadvertently slipped and hit him in the mouth.